Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
And virtual matrimony.
I love it. Any union like this is one that I'm pretty prepared to do.
I know. Well, look at you. Please welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney and Michelle Rivas from Australia. We're going to be talking about some psycho alpha disco beta via Alpha Zulu. Okay, we're going to talk about some great funky stuff that gets down into the core. A deep conversation. Now, I'm going to read this because I want to have Michelle slice and dice it, unpack it, what it means, because it's a lot of words. And, you know, she says she's doing a lot of things for billions of people. So it says that she wants to speak about a need for a higher connection. Her business is Heart Space Manor, and the need to literally connect during these troubled times. Our consciousness, our communication, in all of our relationships and the movement. She's created activities and activated billions of hearts. I wanna ask her what that looks like. to know their purpose. And you know, it is pretty grandiose. It's a big mission. But we can't think small, and that's what people tend to do. They really have compartmentalized a lot of things. They are not slicing and dicing and looking at options. They're afraid, they're fearful, they're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing. It's a whole lot of chaos going on. But I want to hear what you're doing, Michelle. And let's start at the beginning. How did you find this awakening? How did you find this calling? What is it actually that you're doing with people?
Well, it's interesting you say that, and thank you so much, April. There's really a real requirement right now for us to, in many respects, drop out of our headspace and into the heart. And that was really what really drove me for all these years. If I'm to look back upon my life, I really, as a little girl, was always drawn to the metaphysical side of life, even though my parents and the people surrounding me would have loved for me to be quite straight to 180. do something such as, a, you know, be a psychologist or something of that nature. And obviously I did study psychology. I'm also a counsellor, you know, in that world. However, it didn't serve the purpose for me. I was forever feeling misaligned. You know, went into the corporate world at a young age and really found that there was this real missing link, you know, which was people really connecting with their hearts. So on a side note, I was a psychic medium from a very early age. I had the gift or the curse, depending on how you want to look at it. So I was balancing my metaphysical with obviously this other side of life, and recognized from a young age that at some point I'd need to combine them. Wow. So, yeah, it was a really big thing. And look, I could go into great detail around that. However, there was a time in my life where at the age of 13 that I nearly lost my life, actually, to glandular fever. Mm-hmm. And that was probably where I was compromising in some respects myself, between wanting to be of the human world.
Right.
Whereas, yeah, there was an aspect of me that really needed to be of the metaphysical. And really, how could I complement both? How could I marry those two, you know, in some sort of union? So I had my moment with what I feel is the higher power. And they pushed me straight back down to planet Earth and said,
damn it, I missed the ferry. I missed that one.
100%. And so
I hear people say all the time that, you know, during the transition, they don't want to come back. You know, they are missing and longing for the ones that are there, but they will catch up in time. And my girlfriend was telling me that her husband's spirit just visited her. And she said, well, do you miss me? He says, I haven't had time. He says, in this realm, time is an illusion. And so time is an illusion with us. You know, now we want to stay in the present. That's all that we have.
That's right. And given what we're facing currently, and, you know, your brains would really understand this, that, you know, we're searching for more always. There's this real requirement for that. But if not now, when? This is what I'm speaking right. of all the time. You know, we're being, you know, here in Australia, I'm not sure if you're aware of just how the laws have been for us. You know, for 2 years we've been in lockdown, and that's been incredibly significant for so many people. So, you know, the woman that I am, that likes to connect very much on a physical level with people, had to really consider the other ways that she could reach the masses, you know. So Heart Space Manor was born probably about 8 years ago now, and that was actually in Sydney. So mm-hmm. I started that when, you know, I realized that I was doing one-on-one sessions with people. I had such an amazing following, but I really wasn't feeling fulfilled to other areas of my existence. I really felt that, you know, so I guess in some respects you could call it a little bit selfish in nature.
Well, you know, that's okay.
Why not?
Absolutely. Because, you know, you give so much of yourself when you are working with individuals, when you are grounding them, when you're taking on their energy, when you're channeling your message, when you are doing Reiki or hypnotherapy. Yeah. All of that is, you know, something that you really take on in a very personal Absolutely. And a very physical. What do you do to ground yourself, Michelle?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because my technique really started to make me realize that I was connected to something quite higher. A lot of the grounding techniques that I discovered over the years through all the spiritual teachings that I obviously pursued was not really floating my boat, to be quite honest. So I did a little exercise, my own meditation, and asked for spirit and all my higher powers to give me what would be something that I could do myself that would fulfill me, and hopefully then that I could obviously give to others. Right. So I can give that to you right now if you like. I can give you the little technique that I use.
Yeah, let's go there, brain. Sit up. Let's pay attention. What do we need?
So obviously it's a visualization technique, mm-hmm. and it really tunes you into perhaps the other planetary alignments, okay? So you have to imagine yourself sitting on top of our planet Earth, okay?
Eyes closed, correct?
Yes, so eyes closed. Mm-hmm. Now just pop yourself onto the top of the planet, and remember, this is not going to be something that you can do with your head. This needs to be a heart activation, and it really does require just an open heart when we go through this process. So I ask that you breathe in through your nose first and foremost, all the beauty, all the joy, all of the peace, all of the things that make you feel incredible. So in through your nose. And then breathe out any resistance, any confusion, any fear, any sadness. Even contemplation right now doesn't need to exist. So in through your nose, all the beauty, all the joy, all the peace, all the sanctity of this world. And out all of those things that are no longer serving you. So now that you're residing on top of our beautiful planet, I want you to open up the top of your crown chakra, as we call it. Imagine it as a lotus flower with its beautiful petals just opening up one by one. As you do this, imagine an incredible white light opening up in your crown, and allowing all of this beautiful white light energy to go into each and every chakra point in your body. And as this white light continues to service you and go through your body, imagine it then being dispersed into the planet, right to its very core, and through the core and out the other side. At the end of the white light, you have to require a split at the end of the earth, if you will. So if you want to quickly open your eyes, you'll see that you're going to be forming something along these lines. Okay, so you can imagine that it goes in and up through your crown, all the way through the planet, and then down, up, and taking in all of the energies from the universe at large, and then through your crown again. Yep, that's it. You've got it. This is a connection that creates harmony and peace and light and love, and clears out any pieces around rejection, confusion. It's quite incredible.
It is. It's very soothing.
It is. And the thing is, I don't believe that I'm from this planet, to be perfectly frank with you.
I feel
I'm from Venus. Okay, so that's the planet.
I mean, really, you think you're from Venus? I'm like,
I totally do.
I'm like Pluto, girl.
With all connections to others.
So what do you think about these Ayahuasca trips?
Well, to be honest, honey, I wouldn't necessarily require that myself. I don't see that it's, as long as it's in sacred circle and people do it from that position of power and that you feel safe and secure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, you know, whatever floats your boat. But for me, I
can't just say whatever floats my boat. You know, there's got to be something to tether you down, something that you question this, you know, because each trip is going to be different. Here in the United States, is marijuana legal there in Australia?
We've got CBD oil, which is a derivative.
I'm talking about with some THC, that. Okay. All right. So they're trying to legalize, well, it is legal here in California, but they're also trying to legalize mushrooms. So they're saying that they really help people that have mental health challenges, you know, through that psychotic trip to get better.
Yes.
You know, so there could be a use for it. But I've had some guests on my show that go to, you know, South America, and they get down with the Ayahuasca. Absolutely. But I would be afraid of a trip like that. You know, is it worth the gas? Do you have the miles? That's what you got to figure out, brains. Look at it. It's really engaging. So you work with your clients. You get them in a comfortable state. You do some talk therapy. Do you do hypnotherapy, Reiki? Have you worked with shamans? All of that up?
Yes. Very much so. But look, for me, I found that all these things were like a tapas. You know, I was tapping in and tapping out to all the different areas that I had available. And yet there was still something missing for me. I felt like I needed to bring it on home, bring it into something that I could work with. And so for me, I've used all those complementary services to create my own. And during the lockdown period, I found myself being able to do that. So what I did was created a program that was, we took a beta group of 20 people through a 6-month course, and it was amazing to see the result. And it's now called the Higher Heart Program, because I do feel there's levels of the heart. We obviously have the physical heart, our beating heart. We have the chakra that we all know about, that sits, you know, and then there's another one, and this is the higher heart. And the higher heart is something that I've worked with for many years, and it really does establish something quite unique, something quite amazing, and it activates you in a completely different way.
When you're doing this kind of work, Michelle, how do you prepare your day? You know, that's like, I get up, use the bathroom, I go get some tea or some coffee, I come in, you know, you check in the Facebook, the computer, all that. Yeah. When you are a metaphysical, you know, goddess, you know, thank I wake you. Up, I say my morning, I say my prayers at night, I say my morning meditation.
Of course.
How do you prepare your business day? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's so multifaceted. So obviously I'm a one-on-one session coach. I can do that as part of what I do. I also am a mum, so a very proud mum, might I add, of a 13-year-old. So, and we have a new baby in addition to the family, which little puppy. Yeah, so I'll show him later. And then, you know, so all of these things are very important to me. So I have to really be very mindful of how I actually stimulate myself and where I'm going to take my energy, because energy is so important. So it really has to come back to us first and foremost. The first thing that I would do is obviously do my little ritual, which is my prayer, if you will, or my mantra to, you know, to have a successful day. And then after that, at which point I go and have my lemon tea, you know, say hello to my baby. We talk about what's going to happen in the day. And then I just prepare my sessions, you know. So if I've got sessions, then that's all good.
So what I hear you say is that you feed a lot off of your clients and where they are. That is kind of helps you gauge your barometer of the energy that's going to go through the course of the day.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very powerful because, again, you're going to get on so many things, people's trauma, their fears, their anxiety, but also their joy, their passion, their excitement. How does it feel working with a client that's on top of the world? Because, girl, me and you would have a ball. I would be laughing. I don't have that, you know, and I can say this. I can say this honestly. I don't have that trauma in my life. I don't have that trauma. I've never been subjected to a lot of the horrible things that women or children have been. I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
So I can speak from a place of empathy, but I cannot say from a perspective that I was actually there. So when you've got that client that's on top of the world, how do you keep them at that plateau? How do you keep them that high?
Well, it's really interesting you speak of that, April, because I feel this is what we're all requiring to do. I seem to attach or, you know, attract a lot of light leaders. Now, there's been this difference between the light worker and the light leader, and we're really transitioning into that now. So for me, keeping them at this level that they already are is so important, and to require them in some respects to actually give to themselves. Once they do that and recognize they can stay at this vantage point and just drop the little ladder down to those that actually require their assistance, it makes a huge difference. And I have to lead by example. So I lead with my heart. I have a beautiful space that people can come and connect with all the different modalities. We do conscious events and workshops and all of these sort of things, and have so many people that can actually help them. However, it's really important they are maintaining this level of health themselves, you know. So daily ritual is so important. Exactly. You do your same routine and ritual in the morning. You give back to yourself. So, so important. Mm-hmm. But then when you're in service to others, you obviously give yourself that permission to do that too, and do the check-in afterwards, you know. Mm-hmm. Have I managed to release the energies of that traumatic, you know, situation? Have I given myself permission to, you know, drink some water, to actually look outside and take a breath and, you know, have some natural experience? It's so important. Yeah. I do believe we're spiritual, having the human experience, and we have to experience the human. It's so important. It's imperative, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because how are we going to get to where you're from? Get up there in Venus. Yeah. You know, you're so pretty. You're probably... they'll probably take you up in one of those Teslas, you know. Just go ahead and apply for it. Everybody's going. I mean, it's great now. If you were a planetarian, you know, and extract love, what would be three or four things that would be on your planet? An absolute must.
Well, for an absolute must would definitely be, are you talking in terms of our physical self? We're talking about
whatever. You can have whatever, anything from a sexy freak to a cheeseburger. What in the world would you have on your planet?
Conscious connection, 100%. You know, that's connection. So important. Yeah, connection. I really feel that, but it has to come from that higher level, you know? So for me, I tend to be an attractor of that anyway. So I would definitely have that as one. you know, a place where people were free to express themselves, you know, and to feel like they could just literally walk upon that planet without any constraint, any constriction. If anything that this world's taught us recently, that's what's been happening to us. We're feeling so insular. And so the expression of being able to be ourselves and be creative is so, so important. So I'd have lots of, you know, things that are designed to, you know, stimulate the creative. And obviously, you know, what else?
I would have Mr. Magnificent, some music, and some premium cognac.
If I had to be up there,
I would be up there. But you know, it is a different world, and it's a different planet that we're living here now on Earth. You know, we have.
There's an interesting part around that for me. I feel like we're actually in a really amazing position, you know, where there's so much wisdom and there's so much knowledge, but we need to band together as a collective to be able to push the agenda of peace and love and joy and all these things that, you know, we really all desire. Like, ultimately,
we're in the age of Aquarius. You know, absolutely. And so it is much gentler. But everybody is not going to make it through that 5D portal, Michelle. They're not. And so the ones that are not going to make it in the first round, you know, you might make it in the second or third, but you have to learn from each experience. You have to document that. You have to record it. You have to speak about it, share it. Mm-hmm. Don't internalize it, because what it will do is it will fester and then it will explode and then you will be a hot mess. And so you can't rewrite, you know, you can't rewrite your wrongs. You can ask for forgiveness and try not to do it again. But the most important thing is that you learn from it, any mistake. So, Michelle, I think what you're doing is wonderful. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I'd love for them to, you know, do some more deep dive there in Australia or virtually, brain. Virtually, she's on the edge. Tell them how to get in contact with you, beautiful.
Well, definitely Heartspace Manor, obviously. I do have my own website, which, of course, and I'm literally in the process of creating Michelle Reeves, the website, so you'll have to look out for that. You know, I have my own personal number still, which is crazy, but I do still have that connection to people, so I can list that for you. But please, just, you know, if you ever feel you want to do that, there's the handles of all the different we've got so much that we can offer modalities to everywhere throughout the world. I have so many amazing practitioners that work with me hand in hand that have actually gone through the Higher Heart programs. So, you know, we're not talking about a space that's just literally only just being created. This has been an ongoing, you know, thing. And actually just wanted to quickly touch on the fact that we do a lot of work around passion projects, and one of them is very dear to my heart. Both my daughter and myself were sexually abused and also have gone through incredible trials and tribulations. So the woman you see here today is obviously one that has gone through the trauma piece and done that body of work. And so I know in my heart that I can help so many with that. And also my daughter, to be quite honest, she's very much following in her mother's footsteps. Bless her little heart.
You know, it's so important that you catch it at an early age, because we want to reduce this, you know, cycle of epigenetics.
Absolutely.
Generational trauma that has been going on. And, you know, I say to the pedophile, you are a sick fuck. Excuse my French. Who in the world want to victimize an innocent child?
It's just awful. I don't know.
You know what? It's got to be something, you know, there's got to be a flaw in the DNA. Hurt people. I just don't understand why someone would, a 5 or 6 or 7 year old, there's nothing to even look at. It's a skeleton.
Right,
I don't know what the allure is. It's just, it turns my stomach. Alcohol, I see how they get addicted to that. Gambling, maybe. Yeah. Sex, maybe. But a child, I don't know what that is in the brain. And then do you ever heal from that? Do you ever heal from that?
The interesting thing too is, I don't know if you know of Cleo Smith, the young girl that actually was, in Australia, it was all across a global sort of, you know, issue, but she's been found recently. But it's uncovered a lot of the hypocrisy and the danger and the issues that are happening within our community now. Yeah. That is on a much greater level. I mean, the Aboriginal community have been victimized in regards to that. There's just, I mean, I could go on and on.
Human trafficking, and that's a big part of it too, because human trafficking is big here in San Diego, California. You would not think that, but it is a portal. And they are using for prostitution, they're using for thievery, they're using for drugs and brains, they're using for body parts. Okay, a liver, a kidney, absolutely. So don't think that, you know, it's not happening all over the world. And it's awful. But Michelle, you have been such a wealth of information. Thank you for being here on the Edge with me and my brains. I adore you. I want you to come back and visit me. You said you're right. Oh, I know. You know, and I cleaned my desk off. I moved them. But thank you so much. Where are they? I'm never too far from a crystal now.
Absolutely. My pleasure, sweetheart. And I'll certainly be back. I'd love to do that. Thank you, Abe.
All right, babe. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye, friends. Bye.